So even when I have a patient who has a very curable cancer, I never say, this works every time, or this is guaranteed to be a cure, or there'll be no side effects. We never speak in absolutes. And if someone is promising you the world, it's probably too good to be true.
That's Dr. David Palma, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Dr. David Palma is a radiation oncologist and cancer researcher. He joins us to talk about taking charge of cancer, what you need to know to get the best treatment. Dr. Palma, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Tell us about why you wanted to write this book.
Well, a couple of years ago, my best friend was diagnosed with cancer. And when he was diagnosed, we took a series of steps together to make sure that he got good quality cancer treatment. He was diagnosed with a kind of cancer that I don't treat myself. So we did a series of things, making sure that all the correct tests were done and making sure that he was getting all the options. And then finally, to make sure that he had a good treatment team. And at the end of this, my friend said to me, you know, Dave, we really need a book, a guidebook, to help all patients do this. Not everyone can have an oncologist as a friend to help guide them through. And so this became a guidebook, really, a how-to manual for cancer patients.
So as you mentioned, and as you also say in your book, this is intended to be a how-to manual. So how do you envision people using the book?
Well, some people will read it from start to finish, and other people will just use the sections that are available to them. But I've really tried to make this book as user-friendly as possible. There's a minimum of medical jargon, and everything is explained quite well. But also, there are a series of checklists that patients can use to make sure that they're taking all the right steps. And then finally, to go with the book, there are a series of free videos online that patients can watch where I explain some of the concepts. For example, there's a video on distinguishing myths from truths, because you know there can be different rumors and things out there about cancer. It's hard to know what to believe. And in the video, I just go a bit beyond the book and help people take some extra steps to see what's fact and what's fiction.
So I noticed that at the end of a number of chapters or sections, you do have online resources for people to go to.
Yeah, the world has changed. It used to be years ago that everything was based on books and textbooks, but that's not really the case anymore. And the book is meant to be a living document where, as things are updated, I can then update the corresponding website so people can make sure they're getting the latest information. And that whole change also, we see it in medicine as a whole. You know, it was expected years ago, if you go back to the 1960s and 70s, that people would come to their doctors and they would be told what the treatment should be, and they would happily accept that treatment, and you would be a good patient and listen and do what you're told. But that's not really the case anymore. Patients today are better informed than ever, and patients often want to be partners, and we really encourage that in a model of shared decision-making. So just like the world has changed in terms of internet and access to information, also our relationships with our patients have changed.
Now, there's so much in this book, obviously, that we won't have time to talk about, but I do want to touch on a few things. And one of the first things you talk about is when you go in for that first consultation with a cancer specialist, what advice do you give people regarding that first encounter?
Well, there are a series of steps that people can do to prepare themselves for that first encounter. But I think the most important thing is to realize that it's very hard as a patient to really absorb everything that a doctor is saying. And it's because once you hear the word cancer or you realize that there can be some serious implications, your mind is starting to process everything. Sometimes doctors are using medical words and maybe not being direct about what everything means. So it's really hard to understand what's going on. So a very simple thing that people can do is to record the conversation, either by having a sidekick come with them to take notes, or even better, audio recording it. Most people have smartphones nowadays. They can just ask their physician and then record it. And it has a few advantages. One is that when you get home, you can listen to the conversation again and try to absorb the things that you might have missed. But also, many of your family members might be interested to hear what happened as well. And so that allows them kind of to be there after the fact by listening to it with you. So it really gives you a way of hearing things over and over. The problem is that we know right now that patients aren't absorbing some of the most important information, even the goals of treatment. So cancer treatment can have a couple goals. One goal can be sometimes to cure the cancer, but unfortunately sometimes the goal is not to cure the cancer, but it's to slow it down and to extend life, but not for cure. But when we ask patients, do you know the goals of your treatment? Many of them don't. And it's unfair to patients to not know that information, because how can you make decisions about how aggressive you want to be, or how can you make plans for your family or your financial future when you're not even sure if this treatment is aimed at curing the cancer. So even the basics were missing. So by recording the conversation, people can really get more information out of it.
How can a patient know if a doctor's recommendations are the best options for them?
There are a few different ways, but an easy way to do it is to ask your doctor, are the treatment recommendations that you're giving me consistent with the guidelines for my kind of cancer? What I mean by that is that there are guidelines for doctors. If you have a patient with a certain diagnosis, there are national guidelines across the U.S. that tell doctors, here are the standardly recommended options. And for the example of prostate cancer, many men with prostate cancer have four options. They can have surgery, they can have external radiation, they can have internal radiation, but in some cases, they can even be observed. But not all patients are getting all those options. And if you look across the U.S., there are huge differences in the number of patients who are undergoing treatment versus observation in different pockets of the U.S. And we think that's because people aren't being given all their options. So at a very basic level, you can just ask your doctor, are these recommendations consistent with treatment guidelines for my kind of cancer? But in the book, I teach patients how to actually go and check those guidelines for themselves.
What do you recommend in terms of getting second opinions?
A second opinion can be very helpful. It can sometimes just reaffirm the first opinion. You go to the second doctor, or you have other ways of getting second opinions that I'll tell you about. But you go to a second doctor and they say, you know what, I recommend the exact same thing. And then if you are happy with your first doctor, you go back and you have confidence that you're getting a very accepted treatment. But sometimes second opinions can give you different options. It's not that one doctor is right and one doctor is wrong, although sometimes that could be the case, but it might be just a different way of doing things that might have not taken everything into account. But there's a very easy way to get a second opinion without actually going to a second doctor. Many cancer centers have team meetings, team huddles, that we call tumor boards. And at these team huddles, they usually happen once a week, doctors all meet up to discuss patient cases. So there could be a lung cancer tumor board where all the different lung cancer specialists meet up, or a breast cancer tumor board where all the breast cancer doctors meet up. And at that meeting, let's say it's a breast cancer tumor board, they'll discuss a certain number of patients, usually not all of them, but some. They'll go through all the imaging tests and the biopsy reports and all the information, really. And then the group will make recommendations about that patient's care. So you can say to your doctor, hey, can you please present my case at tumor board? And at the tumor board, they can rediscuss everything for you. And we know that when that happens, about 10 or 20% of the time, there's a change in either the diagnosis or the treatment recommendation. So a very easy way to do it is just say, hey, can you discuss my case at a tumor board?
Dr. Palma, I want to come back to something you said earlier, and that is in regard to myths that surround cancer. You do have a chapter in your book called Cancer Myths and Truths. For example, tell us about the myth or truth surrounding the impact that our diets can have on cancer.
Diet can probably have more an effect on preventing cancer than treating cancer. But there is a lot of information out there where people are being told by alternative health providers that if you change your diet in a certain way, go vegan or go vegetarian or take a lot of acid or don't take a lot of acid or avoid sugar, that that can fight your cancer. And that is not true. In a very select scenario, for some women with breast cancer, changing your diet after treatment might have some small beneficial effects in keeping your cancer away. But for the most part, all of this stuff is just bunk. But it's still out there, and it can be very, very restrictive for people. If you're on a cancer treatment and you're losing weight, that can have very, very serious health impacts. But also, it can make people make bad decisions. And I would say about once or twice every month, or maybe once every 2 months, I meet a patient who has a cancer that is curable, but doesn't believe in chemotherapy and radiation, and would prefer to try something dietary. And these patients are just looking out for their best interest, but they've truly been convinced that this can help. And it never does. It really never does. And so what I talk about in the book are ways to help patients distinguish what can be fact and what can be fiction. One of the things that we struggle with as doctors is getting our message out there. It's hard for us to compete with all of the different alternative medicine websites out there. You can put a website out about whatever you want, that eating chocolate cake helps fight cancer, and you can make up a story and put it on there. And so I ask patients to look at a few things when they're evaluating these claims. And two very easy things that I ask patients are, number one, is this person trying to sell you something? I have patients who are going for IV vitamin C for $300 a shot every week, yet high-dose vitamin C has been shown not to be helpful, but still people are selling it to them. So one, is this costing a lot? And the second thing is, are they promising the world? So even when I have a patient who has a very curable cancer, I never say, this works every time, or this is guaranteed to be a cure, or there'll be no side effects. We never speak in absolutes. And if someone is promising you the world, it's probably too good to be true. But this brings me to another point. Because of everything that's being sold online around cancer, it was very important for me not to have any personal financial relationship with this book. And so what I decided to do is that all the author royalties that would come to me for writing a book, because as you know, an author, when everyone buys a book, they get some money. That money does not come to you, but actually it goes directly to a cancer research foundation. So all the money from this book is going to cancer research, all the money that would come to me. And by doing that, not only will that help future patients with the research, but people can be confident in knowing that I'm not doing this to make money. These interviews and the press, and even the 2 years I spent writing the book, is not for a financial motive.
Dr. Palma, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Dr. David Palma's book is Taking Charge of Cancer, What You Need to Know to Get the Best Treatment. More interviews on a wide variety of topics are available at kpr.ku.edu/conversations. You can also use our KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.